Great. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Yeah. One of the reasons why God ordained praise and worship in the church is to work out the body. Yeah. So a church is a full service institution. Takes care of you, spirit, soul, and body. If you follow the things as you should generally be well. Amen. All right, let's share a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful to you for another afternoon in your presence. Thank you for Rancho Church. And thank you that though it tarries, it will come to pass. Thank you, O God, that whatsoever is born of God overcometh. And thank you, Lord, that it is you who has sent us here to do your will and purpose, and we believe, Lord, that your will is being done in Jesus' name. Please bless our service this afternoon. Let your presence be felt. May our eyes be open to the truth of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. All right. So last week we were talking, we were generally sharing from Many Are Called, isn't it? And in this service, we were talking about how different people were called. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. So that would be chapter 3 of the book, Many Are Called. Right. And last week, we went through the divine call of Paul through quiet convictions. We talked about Abraham's call through the word of the Lord and the divine call of Jacob through a dream, Moses through an unusual and unnatural occurrence that drew his attention. Do you remember that? Isn't it? We talked about how unnatural occurrences should get your attention because there might be a message in what you're looking at. Amen. In what you're seeing, God may be speaking. God may be saying something. God may be giving you a signal about something. Amen. And we must always be listening to the voice of God through the circumstances and especially unusual, out of the ordinary experiences and phenomena. Amen. Then number 5 was the call of Aaron through Moses. And this is where we saw how God included Aaron in his engagement by sending Moses to invite him. Amen. So through Moses' invitation, you know, Aaron could do something that Moses could not do. You see what I'm saying? Aaron was a great help to Moses. And it is through helping Moses that Aaron actually receives his calling. Amen. So there are people who are called to help others. Sometimes people who are called to help try to do their own thing. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, something that's supposed to be a part of a body tries to be a body on its own. You see? Imagine if your arm, your right arm, says that because you're right-handed and because of that, it does most of the things that relate to your body. So it decides that it's going to separate itself and try to become a body on its own. Do you see? Then you realize that as an arm that is attached to a body, you work very well and very impressively. But when you allow that to deceive you into isolating yourself from the rest of the body so as to become a body on your own when you are just an arm, then you soon discover that it takes more than being able to lift things to be called a body. Isn't it? Yeah. Because you're soon going to need a mouth. You see the thing. Then you're going to need legs. You're going to need so many things that you were taking for granted. You were only narrowly looking at your contribution to the body because it looked significant. So a lot of people are like that because they contribute significantly to what God may be doing in a church. Do you see? Then it empowers them or deceives them ultimately into separation and isolation. Hallelujah. But you have to be content when you recognize that God has called you not to be a body, but to help a body. Amen. Not to be your own person or an individual, but to assist someone because you have unique gifts that someone needs. When God calls someone, it doesn't mean the person has everything. But God calls the person and then calls other people who have gifts, talents, and abilities that help the person to fulfill what God has called him to do. So God told Moses, bring in Aaron. He is going to be your mouth. He is going to do all the talking for you. And you are going to be his God. That means you're going to tell him what to do. Isn't it? Yeah. It says, bring him. He's going to be your assistant. An assistant is someone who assists you, isn't it? Someone who helps you to get things done. And many times you can have an assistant who does something that you cannot do. It's not strange. Do you understand? That does not make him or should not make or deceive him to think of himself in a certain way. But you see, there were a lot of church breakups come from these type of things. You see, where somebody who was an assistant is not content to be that and then separates himself into something else, and then the whole thing becomes a problem. And the confidence to do that arises out of the dependence or the apparent dependence on him by the original guy. Do you see what I'm saying? The main guy depends on this assistant. And so the assistant takes off with that. But it's supposed to be like that. You are needed an assistant because he can't do it without you. An assistant is someone you lean on, isn't it? It's like a walking stick. Do you see? It's like you need it. You are falling without it. That is why you've got it. So when it comes into your life, it's supposed to support that weight and help you to stand and help you to do the right thing. What do you think? Right. So we must understand all these things and we must be able to teach it to others. What do you think? We must be able to explain it to others and have great understanding of all these wonderful truths. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Then the next one was the divine call of Joseph through his childhood dreams. Amen. So don't take your childhood dreams for granted, because God may be speaking to you. Amen. Then the divine call of Joshua when Moses sent him. Yeah. Joshua was enlisted through being sent by Moses. So what it means is that when you serve someone, through that, you can actually find your calling. Amen.
Amen.
Through servanthood, as you serve someone, as another person can send you, another person can say, do this. Another person can say, rise up and do this for me. You know, go over here and get this done for me. As you keep doing it, it is often training for your calling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, when they were looking for a prophet after Elijah, then somebody remembered that, well, Elijah used to be the mega prophet around here, but he's no more, you know. Then someone remembered that there's a guy called Elisha who used to work for Elijah. They described him as one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. You see, because you see, when you have to wash your hand, you can't pour water on your own hand to wash it. Do you understand that? So every great person, even when he's doing a good thing, needs help. Do you understand? There are some things you will never be able to do if you don't get someone to help you. Hallelujah. Yeah. One day I heard someone say that, have you seen anyone put his hands under his feet to lift himself up before? You should try it. You just put your hands. Because you can lift so many people on your own. Wow. You can lift so many people. But the only person you can't lift is yourself.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? You cannot put your hands under your own feet and then raise yourself up. You need someone else to raise you up. That means no matter how great you are, you need someone to help you.
Amen.
So they said, Elisha was the guy who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Then the people said, oh, then the anointing must be on him.
Wow.
So we don't even need to know whether he has a big church, whether he has posters, or whether he's on TV. Or we don't need to know any of that. What we need to know is his history. What has he done before? Say, he used to serve this man of God. He must be anointed. He must have received something from him. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So you see that as you serve another person, it is a gateway to a calling. So Joshua, as he served Moses, received his calling through that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So we talked about that last week, didn't we? All right, so today we're starting from number 8, which is the divine call of Samuel by staying in the church and being trained to recognize God's voice, which sounds like a man's voice. Hallelujah. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. You know, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. Say, the Lord called yet again. So who is calling?
The Lord.
The Lord. Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to who? Eli. So why is Samuel hearing the Lord's voice and rising up and responding to Eli? Do you understand that? Samuel is hearing a voice. He's hearing someone calling him. The Bible clearly is saying that that voice was the voice of the Lord. But in responding to that voice, Samuel gets up and goes straight to Eli. Do you see? He goes to Eli. So it must mean that the voice of the Lord sometimes sounds like the voice of your pastor. Do you follow what I'm saying? And your voice of your pastor is actually often the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he says that Samuel rose and went to Eli. If that voice was distinctly different from Eli's voice, do you see? He would have clearly gone somewhere else. He would have gone to the front door or something to see if there was a stranger out there looking for him. But 3 times he would get up and go to the same individual and say to him, you called me, isn't it? So he says, and the Lord called Samuel again the 3rd time. You know, now if you read the other one, he says, here am I. For thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So what it means is that Samuel was not yet trained in the art of hearing. Do you see what I'm saying? He had not read Bishop Dagg's book on the art of hearing. You see, the books you read or do not read can be costly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had not read the book on how to be led by the Spirit. Do you see? That is why the word of the Lord was not yet revealed unto him. Isn't it? And the Lord still called him at that time. Hallelujah. God is very determined when he wants you. Isn't it? He called unto him at that time. That the fact that the word of the Lord was not revealed unto him did not even stop him. You see, but he kept calling. He kept calling. He kept calling. He kept calling. You know, and he called unto him again the third time and rose. He says he rose, called unto him the third time, and then he arose and went to Eli for the third time and said, for the third time, here am I, for thou didst call me. And at this point, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Hallelujah. Eli, the senior prophet, Eli, Samuel's pastor, put two and two together and interpreted the boy's response and said that there must be some calling here. Hallelujah. See, many times when you're working with an experienced man of God, when you're working with a pastor, he's able to tell that there is a calling over here. You may not see a calling. You may not think that you are called. Do you understand? I remember that one day Bishop Dagg asked me, you know, he was telling me that you are called. And I remember asking him the question, how do you know I'm called? Do you see? Wow. How do you know I'm called? You know? And then he gave me some situations and used them. He said, look, I've watched you. I've seen you do this. You've been leading the choir. You've been doing this. You've been doing this. You've been leading the people, having the groups, you know, doing all these things. He says, that is the call. And he was explaining it to me. Do you see? And I was hiding and saying, no, that's not it. Do you see what I'm saying? I was hiding and just trying to. And you see, sometimes when you have it. The more you try to hide it, the more obvious it becomes. Do you understand? Yeah, the more obvious it becomes. Sometimes you even look funny when you call yourself a businessman, when everyone can see a priest in you. Do you get it? Yeah. It wasn't until later, I mean many years later, when I have become a pastor and so on, then some friends on Facebook, classmates and so on, you know, I saw people writing comments. We always knew you would be a pastor. And I was just thinking, how did you know? You see what I'm saying? So to them, it was very obvious. Do you see? But your stubborn and rebellious heart can make you deny it and say, it's not there. Say, it's not there. It's not me you are calling. Hallelujah. But thank God I was delivered from that. And Samuel, he didn't even have that attitude at all. He was more running into the call. Do you understand? He was more running into it for you to say, I didn't call you. Do you understand? Not the other way around. I called you and said, I didn't hear you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think that it is a commendable thing in this boy. That the Lord called him. When the Lord called him, he didn't even know what a call was. He was in my type of situation. He didn't know. Well, how do you even know that God has called you? Do you understand? And you need an experienced person. You need a pastor. Do you understand? To tell you that this and this and that are the symptoms of a call. And if you have this and you have that and you have this and you have that, it's a sign of a calling. So you see, when Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child, then Eli told Samuel what to do. He said, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came, surely. This is now call number four. And stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Hallelujah. And the Lord came and stood and called. Give me verse 11. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Hallelujah. So there was a call indeed. He just didn't know how to activate it, how to step into it, how to download the call. Hallelujah. How to step into it, how to walk in that calling. What should I do? So I'm called. What is the next step? Eli said to him that when you hear this voice, or when you see the sign, or when this happens, you open your mouth and say, Lord, speak, your servant is hearing. Do you understand? What a valuable key. Because until Eli released this key to Samuel, Samuel was hovering around like someone not called yet called. Are you getting what I'm saying? That a person who has been called three times directly by God is moving around like he has not been called. Hey, may God deliver us from such a thing. And may God give us pastors and spiritual fathers and so on who are spiritual, who are able to interpret our circumstances and able to point us in the right direction and to guide us and lead us into the gifts and callings of God. Hallelujah. Such a person is a very valuable person, you know, because God had so much to say. Just one line, you know, that Samuel had to speak, which he didn't know to speak. And that one line was separating him from his calling. That one simple thing, just saying, speak, Lord, was separating him from his calling. So if you have a man of God who teaches you, say, look, start praying about the will of God for your life. Maybe that may be that one sentence for you. Do you understand? Or even being asked to do something in the church. Do you understand? Being asked to do something in the church. Here is someone, he even lives in the church and he can't recognize the voice of God. How much more someone who works at the bank? Are you getting what I'm saying? This boy lives in the church and even he cannot recognize the voice of God. How much more someone who works somewhere else? You see, so our spiritual leaders are very important in helping us and guiding us into the calling. Hallelujah. Sometimes people can be very proud. People can be very proud when they see a few symptoms here and there of some calling of some sort. Then they throw away their spiritual fathers. You know, yeah. They throw away their spiritual fathers and they are not able to step into the calling properly and walk in its fullness. Samuel became a great prophet. Became a great prophet because he had been ushered into the calling properly and he had continued in it. What do you think? It's good, right? Okay, number 9. The divine call of Elisha by having a mantle thrown on him. You know, a covering, a cloak thrown on him. Amen. So he departed, 1 Kings 19 and 19. He departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Amen. So Elisha was called by having Elijah pass by and throwing his mantle or his covering or a piece of his responsibility on him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like an office, because the cloak he had represented who he was. You know, he took it and he just tossed it on him. You know, and Elisha immediately knew what it meant. So when you read the story, it says, what verse does it say in verse 20? Verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Can you see that? When he saw that, he said, I know what this means. Instead of running away from Elijah, do you follow what I'm saying? Instead of running away from Elijah, he ran after Elijah. And he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Hallelujah. He said, let me. He said, I understand this. I understand this. I'm not going to pretend I don't understand it at all. I understand this. I know what this means. I know what it means for someone to throw his mantle upon me. You know, just give me a chance to say bye-bye to my mother and father. Which itself is a point right there. That the fact that God has called you doesn't mean that you should throw away your mother and your father. Are you getting what I'm saying? That you need to do what you do with their blessing. What do you think? That it is a very important thing that when someone has raised you all your life and you want to do something, it is important that you do it with their blessing. What do you think? Yeah. It is important that you do. So he said, listen, I want to and I'm going to do it. I just want to say bye-bye to my mother and bye-bye to my father. And I will come and follow you. And I will serve the Lord with all my life. Say amen. I know a couple of people who have, you know, made shipwreck of their calling, especially because of how they treated their mother and their father in relation to that calling. And, you know, eventually the calling didn't seem to work out. And then the whole thing is a beast. Hallelujah. So you got to be careful. You see, we have to be careful of pride. Do you understand? Because one of the signs that the devil is involved in something is, you know, bigness and disrespect. That is one of the symptoms of devilish involvement in something that anyone is doing. Do you understand? That when people begin to be disrespectful, it's a sign that you are dealing with the enemy. You are dealing with Satan. It is Satan who said, listen, I'm going to arise. I'll be like God. God is not a big deal. What is it? Do you understand? So we have to be careful of those things. Say amen. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, God is calling you. Amen. Number next, 10. The divine call of Jeroboam through the word of the prophet. Through the word of the prophet. Okay. Now this is an interesting passage, but let's read it. Let's read it. 1 Kings chapter 11 and from verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 11 and from verse 29. It says, and it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way. And he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him, and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. You know, I'm going to take the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and 10 tribes will come to you. And then he says, but he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments as David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life, for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandment and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, and the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do all that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and will build thee a sure house as I built for David, and I will give Israel unto thee. Hallelujah. Isn't that a sweet prophecy? That's a beautiful prophecy. Hallelujah. And there are so many things in this prophecy, but the main thing we want to see here is how that Jeroboam was being called through a prophecy. A prophet spoke to him, and the prophet told him that this is what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord is saying. It is important. We need to not despise prophesying. We must not despise prophetic utterances. Hallelujah. But prophecy must be tested according to the scriptures. Amen. Prophecy must be tested. So you don't just take off on a prophecy when you hear a prophecy. When someone comes to speak to you and says something, it must be tested by the word of God. God does not give prophecy outside his word. Hallelujah. The Bible says prophecies come to comfort, to exhort, and to edify, which is to build people up. So when you have prophecies that have the effect of tearing down churches, do you see? You have a prophecy that has the effect of bringing confusion and destroying something that God is building. You need to watch such prophecies. Can I have an amen? Amen. You need to watch such prophecies. So God does call people by prophecy, but we need to be careful how we go with those things. Hallelujah. But I think it is worthy of note that God seemed to be very fond of David over here. I see God being fond of you too. Hallelujah. God seemed to be fond of David here. God said, you know, these people have done something terrible, and I don't even want them to have, you know, the kingdom. You know, he said, this Solomon, he has just done, gone his own way. He's led the people. They are now worshiping so many different gods and so many things. Right there, we need to take notes that, you know, our choices and decisions as to who we worship and what we do have consequences. And the consequences may not be immediate. Do you understand? But when we turn our backs on God, God will rise up one day and respond to it accordingly. Hallelujah. And as God was seeking to respond to this thing, then he said to David, he said to Jeroboam, the prophet said to Jeroboam that, look, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him a prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. That means that the way you serve God will affect your children. Do you see what I'm saying? That your faithfulness to God, you know, will outlast your life in terms of its rewards and its benefits and blessings. There are some blessings that are meant for you, many rewards that God has for you, which are going to go beyond your lifetime. They will go beyond your existence. God is going to show mercy to your children because of you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Even though this person did not deserve it, God said, this is the guy who has messed up, but I'm remembering his father. I'm remembering his father, so I will not take the kingdom out of his hands because I promised his father that I was going to do this for him. Do you understand? But I'll take it out of the hands of his son. Do you see? I'll take it out of the hands of his son. He said, because whom I chose, David, for my servant David's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I'll take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son I will give 1 tribe, so that David my servant may have a light always before me. Wow! So that David will always have something that reminds me of him. Isn't that a good place to be? May God always have something that reminds him of you. Hallelujah! May you always have a light before the Lord. May you always, let there be something before the Lord always that reminds him of you. Hallelujah. God will remember you and do good to your children. God will remember you and do good to your family members. God will show them mercy because of your service. That is why you must not stop serving God. Hallelujah. It says, I will take thee and thou shalt reign, You know, and then it says, it shall be that if thou will hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my commandments and my statutes, just like David my servant did. Hey, God must have been very impressed with David. That I will be with thee, and I will build a sure house. I'll build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel to thee. Amen. Meanwhile, we all know that David was not a perfect person. Is it not the case? Wow. So once again, you have to be careful. You see? Because as you judge people, you'll be surprised that God's perspective on the person is totally different. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now the way God sees the person, the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he has x-ray eyes. You see? God looks at x-ray eyes. When you don't have x-ray eyes, you cannot see fractures. You cannot see different things that are going on in the body. That is why we take x-rays, because the x-rays penetrate the skin to show you what is underneath the skin. It's to show you what is in the frame. Do you understand? Yeah. And God does not see as man sees, because man looks on the outward appearance. Man often cannot get past your clothes. With his eyes. Do you see what I'm saying? But God, he has x-ray eyes. The Bible says he looks at the heart. God is able to look at one person and just see straight through you. He understands your motives. He knows why you're doing what you're doing. He knows why you are saying this at this time. He knows what impression you are trying to create by what you are saying. He knows how you are intending to mislead by what you are saying. He knows what you're trying to change or influence by what you're saying. God knows it all, but man doesn't always get that. Hallelujah. Amen. So I think that we should remember David. Amen. That's a blessing. So that's a bonus thing about David right there. Hallelujah. But then number 11, the divine call of David through the anointing of the prophet. This is how David became king. And 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verse 11, it says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Behold, he keepeth the sheep." Amen. "Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Hallelujah. Amen. So David's calling came through an anointing. Anointing as in pouring oil upon his head. That is why we must not despise opportunities to be anointed.
Amen.
Opportunities to be prayed for.
Yeah.
Opportunities to be prayed for and anointed by anointed people.
Amen.
What do you think?
Powerful.
Yeah, we must not despise such opportunities. Yeah. Because the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Do you see what I'm saying? From that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Wow.
Now David, he had been writing songs and, you know, singing anointed songs and doing all that he was doing. But there came this day when someone laid his hands on him and his life was never again the same. His life changed from that day forward. His life changed from that day forward. So there is a day when a certain prayer for you just changes your life. Hallelujah. Yeah. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Hallelujah. It says, "Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. You know, that is a long way of saying he was a real handsome, good-looking guy. Amen. See that God also likes handsome people. What do you think? God likes handsome and beautiful people. So the fact that someone has good looks doesn't mean that he's supposed to be in the club. Good looks should not misdirect you. It should not direct you to the club, to the streets. No. Good looks also belong in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have good looks, if you are handsome and tall, it doesn't mean you should be chasing women all over the place. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God has blessed you with some, you know, some good looks, some really nicely set hips and, you know, a sound bust, and God has blessed you with, you know, you have it going, it doesn't mean that it's for people to play with it. You are not a playground for people to swing on you and to slide up and down on you. No, 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 no. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? And the Bible says the one who destroys their body, him shall God destroy. So your body, God has shaped it and made it nice so that he can have a nice house. So he can dwell in a nice place. Yeah. Don't you realize how that even though people live inside a house, there's still a huge investment on the outside of the house. As though they were going to live outside the house. They make the lawn, they paint the house, and they make it sharp and keep it looking clean and so on and so. Even though they live inside it, inside it, inside it. Hallelujah. So God also likes to live inside a beautiful house. God likes a beautiful temple. He likes a handsome temple. Amen. So if God is blessing you with some good looks, you must not be ashamed of your good looks. You must know that good looks doesn't mean that you need to have a boyfriend. Good looks doesn't mean you need to have a girlfriend. Good looks doesn't mean you need to be in the streets. Good looks doesn't mean you need to be in the club. Good looks doesn't mean you need to show your body to everyone. Good looks simply means that you make a great choice for God also. Hallelujah. He was beautiful to look upon. Goodly to look upon. His countenance, you know, yeah. And that is it. I pray that God would use us. Amen. Tell the nearest beautiful person that God is interested in you also. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you see, many people, they misinterpret their good looks. Once they see that they look good, they start to become bad. Either make the looks good and the person bad, or make the person bad and the looks good. A lot of good looking people just become bad boys. Amen. But good looking people, like our bishop, he's a good looking person, but he's anointed. Yeah. Good looking and anointed. Like Paul. It's good looking and anointed. Isn't it? Yeah. So you don't have to be a bad boy just because you look good. Just because when you pass, all the girls are looking at you. No. If all the girls are looking at you and getting, it means you must preach to them. Yeah. If your good looks is drawing attention to you, it means you are supposed to be a preacher. It means you are supposed to use it to teach people righteousness.
Amen.
Not to take advantage of them. Pastor Charles, what do you think? What are you going to do with your good looks, Pastor Charles? You must preach with it. Hallelujah. You must preach with your good looks. If your good looks is getting you any attention, direct that attention to the Lord. Amen. Direct that attention to the Lord. When people look at you a lot, you know, take the opportunity to speak to them.
Wow.
You know, tell, I see you like, you like something about me, right? Yeah. I look nice. I look attractive to you, right? Yeah. You want to know who is making me look nice? See, if you like this, you should wait to see, till you see what is inside.
Wow.
You know, it's not what is outside that matters. It is what is inside. And I can introduce you to the one who makes the inside beautiful. Do you understand? Yeah. Because you can look great on the outside, but very ugly on the inside. Some beautiful houses are very dirty inside. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They look beautiful outside, but inside are dead men's bones. There's a lot of rottenness inside. So that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about dressing on the outward and looking good, but looking good from the inside, looking so good within that it shows on the outside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It shows on the outside. And God is the source of that. And when God has blessed you and you're getting attention, you need to direct that attention to the Lord. Direct that attention to the Lord. Use everything you've got to bring glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. So the next one is the divine call of Solomon through a double dream. Through a double dream. Wow. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake. Wow. May God show you mercy because of your father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He says, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Hallelujah. So the Bible is saying that Solomon was called twice. See, God was upset with him because he said, what I'm telling you, I've told you twice. I've given you two dreams about this matter. Wow. So it means that when you have a double dream, when you dream about the same thing twice, you need to sit up and start to look into it, that because it is a matter of significance. You see what I'm saying? That it is only when something is important that you go over it again. That you would tell someone twice. You would say it and you would say it again. And it says that the anger of the Lord was, or the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord which had appeared unto him twice. In other words, the emphasis is on the fact that this thing, not only once, but twice. You see how we read earlier that in those days the word of God was rare.
Yeah.
And there was no open vision. You see what I'm saying? So even for you to have one. You get it. Just to have even one vision, you know, is an onapos. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So to have one vision is a very important thing. And the Lord had appeared to him at the time, you know, when hearing from the Lord was scarce, God had appeared to him twice. Do you see the thing? And so the Lord was angry with him that in spite of me coming into your room and into your house to talk to you about this, that you shouldn't turn your heart or let your heart go after other gods. And I've done it twice. That's exactly what you have done. Mercy. So the Lord said, I'm going to remove you from the kingdom. Mercy. May God have mercy on us. So watch double dreams. Say, watch double dreams. Amen. Amen. Number 13, the divine call of Isaiah through a vision. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go tell this people. Hallelujah. He said, go tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Hallelujah. Right. So here is a case where he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? So you can see how that visions are also a way of receiving your calling. Amen. He said he saw the Lord. Even the fact that he saw a vision, he felt that it means something. It means I must be a person of significance, or a person of interest, if you like, to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's someone that God wants to talk to. Someone that God wants to do something with. Even I don't know what it is. You know, sometimes when there's a crime committed, you say there's some arson or something, someone has burnt down a church or some building or something like that, you know, then they start to look for a person of interest. A person of interest is a notch below a suspect. That means that he's not a suspect. You don't have enough, you know, to hold him and attach him to it. But he's of interest to you in relation to this matter. Do you see what I'm saying? He's of interest to you. So you want to find him. You want to talk with him. And in that conversation, we are hoping to be able to upgrade him to a suspect. Do you understand? Then from a suspect, we are hoping eventually to upgrade him to a convict. Then it starts to go on like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he's at least a person of interest. Do you understand? And this person is saying that, look, I saw a vision. When I saw the vision, I just realized I must be a person of interest to the Lord. Because for God to bypass everybody and come and show me a vision. You see, and a vision is different from a dream. You see, when you are having a dream, you are often asleep. But when people are having visions, they are not asleep. They are alert, sometimes their eyes are open, and yet they are seeing something else. They are looking at you, but they are seeing the Lord sitting on the throne and his train filling the temple. Do you see what I'm saying? They can see into a realm that we ordinarily cannot see into. They see angels, they see all kinds of things. The Lord opens their eyes and they can see into another dimension. And you know that this is not regular. It's not ordinary. So it must get you up and start to think. You see what I'm saying? So right there, when he saw in the vision, he heard the voice saying, the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You know, imagine that you are here and then I come and stand close to you and I ask, who will fetch me some water? Who will? You cannot pretend that you don't know what I'm talking about. Because there are so many people here, you know, and I don't walk to any of them to ask for water. But I come to you and I come to stand right next to you and I start asking, I really need water. I wish someone will go and fetch me water, you know. And you know that you're having an experience that is not common. Not everyone is having these experiences. Not everyone is seeing a vision. So as God is showing you a vision, it means you're a person of high interest to him. And if you will allow it and process and respond to it, then you will see that it will process you into a suspect. And then eventually into a convict. A convict is someone who has been convicted. That means the person has been processed to the point where now they say it is true. Do you understand? But to get to that place, it is true. It doesn't happen in a day. It starts with just being a person of interest. Do you understand? Just recognizing that you are a person of interest, you know, that eventually you will come to that place of confidence in the call. You will come to that place of knowing that God has truly called me. The evidence is clear. You cannot deny it anymore. When people are convicted, usually the evidence is overwhelmingly clear. So now they have been called convicts. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
What do you think? Hallelujah. So he says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then he said, well, here am I. Send me. May you also say, here am I. Amen. As you can sense a need. See, one of the ways to enter the call of God is also just by sensing a need. Now God is asking, here am I. He says, who will go? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then he says, here am I. Send me. And to my surprise, the next verse, verse 9, the Lord didn't ask him any question. What is your qualification? Look at it. He said, here am I. Send me. Then verse 9, Jason. He says, and he said, go. It means you are right. It means you were truly a person of interest. It means he really wanted to send you. So when you said, I want to go, here am I. When you made yourself available, he immediately said, go. Go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, and you do not hear, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Wow. God is just looking for someone who will say, well, I see a need. I see that you're looking for someone to send. I want to make myself available. And God didn't ask him all the questions we ask. God didn't ask him. He didn't even do a background check. That is this a worthy carrier of my message? But God said, well, it's so hard to find people to send. So if someone says, here I am, send me. Then go. Yeah. Then go. You know? He said, just go. Don't make it too complicated. Just go. I'm looking for someone to send. Lord, send me. Then go. Go and tell them this. Say amen. I see God choosing and sending you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Then the next one is what? Divine call of Ezekiel through the word of the Lord. All right. So here the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. The word of the Lord came expressly. Like to say the word of the Lord came clearly. Specifically to Ezekiel. That means there was no ambiguity to it. There was no vagueness about it. The word of the Lord came clearly. And there are some people like that. They hear the voice of the Lord. They hear the voice of the Lord. They hear God talking to them. You know, recently I heard about a truck driver who said he was backing up his truck or something, and he heard a voice, stop. He's a member of one of our churches. So he heard a voice, stop the truck. So he stopped the truck. I mean, the voice was so loud and clear, he could not ignore it. So he stopped the truck. When he stopped the truck and stepped out of it, then he walked around the truck to see, I mean, what's going on, you know? When he went round the back of the truck, here was a man who had come to lay right behind the wheels of the truck. Yeah, and the guy wanted the truck to run him over because he had decided that he was going to commit suicide. Yeah, so they called the police and so on, and the police interrogated the guy, and he said it. He said that this was it. He had had it and felt that he wanted to end it. So he saw this driver about to move the truck. When the driver got into the truck, he went to lay behind the wheel. So the driver would back up the truck on him. Do you see? So this is the word of the Lord that came expressly to him. Do you see? May the word of the Lord come expressly to you. Hallelujah. May God remove all ambiguity and all double sounding voices that make his voice unclear to you. Hallelujah. May his voice come out very clear. May you hear his voice and obey him as you hear it. Amen. Then another one is Jeremiah's call through the word of the Lord. And here also the word of the Lord came. You know, we're reading this morning, right? He says, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Hallelujah. He said, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were born, I knew you. Before you were born, before I formed thee. That means you were even formed by God. It means no one is an accident and no one is a mistake. What do you think? No one is an accident. Where is the verse? Jason, are you putting it up? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Wow. And before thou camest forth of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So you see, one of the reasons why people do not find fulfillment, one of the reasons why people... Okay. Not a problem. That's my alarm. It shows it's time to close. Hallelujah. But let me just finish this quickly and we'll close. It says, before I formed thee, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And that means set you aside. And ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Hallelujah. You see, now one of the problems and reasons why, one of the reasons why people do not find fulfillment. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Or looking at her? We can pause and look at her for a little bit. Okay. One of the reasons why people do not form or find fulfillment is, number one, they do not recognize that God knows them. Do you understand? And then number two, they do not accept who God has created them to be. Do you understand? They do not accept. It says, before you came, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. I made you. And I knew you before I formed thee in the belly. And before you were born, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to be a prophet. Do you understand? So now you start living and you want to be something else. It is no wonder that you are not going to find fulfillment. And you're not going to find satisfaction. You're not going to settle. You will find yourself a restless soul upon this earth as you bounce from job to job, from place to place, because you are not settling to accept who God has created you to be. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no one who is a mistake. God forms people the way he wants them to be. Isn't it? And God sets people aside and he sanctifies them because he has a plan. Listen, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. You are not an accident. God has a plan for your life. And God knows exactly why he made you the way he has made you. You are just the right way that God needs you to be in order to fulfill what your life is meant for. Say amen.
Amen.
Number next is 16. We're almost done, please. The divine call of Peter, James, and Andrew by being asked to follow. Jesus went to them and he said unto them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So you can also enter your calling by following someone.
Wow.
Yeah, just by following someone.
Wow.
Because Jesus didn't tell them, become preachers. He just said, follow me.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't tell them, become a priest. That you guys become priests. He just said, just follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. And so as we follow the Lord, as we follow the Lord and as we follow sometimes anointed people, you will find that it will bring you into your calling. Hallelujah. Number 17 is the call of Paul through spectacular and supernatural visions. Isn't it? We talked about this the last time where Paul saw a vision. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven and he fell to the earth. Now this type of drama, you know, which God uses to call people, sometimes a lot of us get deceived into thinking that it means everyone must be called like this. So once you don't see any dramatic experiences surrounding your call, you either deny the call, you say it's not there, or you simply don't acknowledge it at all. Hallelujah. Amen. But not everyone will be called like this. Some people will receive an ordinary call. So learn to listen to the still small voice. And then finally, number 18, the divine call of Timothy through his family upbringing and the hand of Paul. Now, this is a very important one because often God calls families. Do you understand? God calls someone and calls their son and calls their son's son and calls their son's son's son, and it just keeps going down the line and down the line. So Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, you know, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that in thee also. So certain things run through families. Are you getting what I'm saying? Certain things run through families. Certain callings, gifts, talents, abilities, they run through families. Hallelujah. And sometimes you know a person's calling by looking at what gift God has given to the person. Hallelujah. Because one way I can give you an assignment is by telling you what to do. Another way to do it is by giving you the tool that is used to do what I want you to do, even without telling you what to do. Do you see what I'm saying? So I can give you just the tool. If this baby, Daniela, was to be crying. Daniela, please don't. You know. But if Daniela was crying, do you understand? And I handed you a feeding bottle. Need I say to you, go feed Daniela? Do I have to say to you, go feed Daniela? You see? So what I have handed to you is a message about what I want you to do. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? The other thing I can do is to tell you, go and feed Daniela, even without giving you the bottle. Then you must now get up and go and find a bottle and bring it to Daniela. Do you understand? Daniela, feel free. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So one of the ways you know what God is calling you to do is by looking in your hands to find what he has put in your hands, which he has not put in everybody else's hands. It's not everyone who has the gifts you have. It's not everyone who has the talents you have. It's not everyone who can see what you can see. It's not everyone who can do what you can do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the gifts and talents and abilities that we have, they are, you see, in Romans, they call in one group, it says the gifts and callings. The gifts and callings. So God gives gifts and then God also calls. So he may give you an assignment. Do this. That's a calling. But sometimes what you will get is a gift. And that gift itself is also an expectation. And he says that God's gifts and callings are without repentance. That God is not looking back. Since he gave you that gift, he's still expecting something from you. So if you wake up and you can sing, don't be there and say that, well, but God hasn't called me to sing it anywhere. So it means he's not expecting me to sing. Then what is the use of the voice he gave you? Why has he given you that nice voice? Are you following what I'm saying? So you can follow the gift into the calling. Amen. And he said here that there are certain things that run through the family. He said, I saw it in your grandmother, Lois. And I saw it in your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded that I'm seeing the same thing in you, Timothy. And so I think that that gift is indeed by the putting on of my hands. He says, stir up that gift. Hallelujah. Because sometimes it's there. It just needs stirring up. It just needs stirring up. You know, personally, I have noticed how sometimes when people have learned how to play instruments and how great they become. And then I think of how this person could have gone through life without ever knowing that they could have played an instrument. Do you see what I'm saying? That it was just piano lessons or whatever they did that seemed to sort of bring it out. But really the gift was embedded in them. It was just not activated. Do you see what I'm saying? It was just not stirred up. So gifts need to be stirred up. And that's what he was telling him. Stir up the gift. And then look at the other verse. This is still talking to Timothy. I charge, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. Amen. Right. So sometimes it may run through the family. Hallelujah. Amen. But we must respect it and know that it is a privilege that God will bless us with something and pass it on from generation to generation. Hallelujah. The gift of God is a blessing. The grace of God to do something unique or peculiar is a blessing. It's not to be taken for granted. It's not to be despised. Sometimes when you find yourself with something, you don't respect it. You know, something that somebody just struggles and struggles to get. And it's just something you just happen to be able to do. You know, think of all the things you can do which you didn't take lessons for. Do you understand? And think of how people are going for lessons to try to do that thing and are still not getting better. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. Did you take lessons to make earrings? You didn't. Really? You didn't take lessons? Well, you see how people who are taking lessons are failing. Those who are paying to take lessons are not even being able to do it. But you can do so many things, you know. I was telling my wife about Joel today that, you know, this guy seems to be able to do so many things at his age. You see, and this one over here too. You see, seems to be able to do so many things that they have not learned how to do formally. You see, but a lot of the things these guys do, people take lessons to do them. They go and pay money and they pay what kind of money? Like $30 an hour, $40 an hour, just to be able to do, and they can do it all day long. Just, you see, I mean, and just, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes when we are in our car, we play our own music. Just, you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, whatever, this afternoon they said they've got some new Azonto music. That's just, and just playing the music loud in the car. Do you see? It's a gift. And it must not be taken for granted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It must not be taken for granted. It must be respected. And it must be seen that this is a calling. It's something that God wants me to use to help his house and to do his work. And if you respond to it, you will find that God will process you all the way to the level of a convict. And you will stand in that calling properly. And it will bring a blessing. Amen. Over your life. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. All right. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for today and thank you so much for another session in your word. Thank you for everything you've taught us about the gifts and callings of God. Thank you so much about everything you have taught us. Thank you for the voice of God that we keep hearing. Sometimes it sounds like it is our pastor who wants us to do something. It sounds like it is our pastor who is making us do something. And yet it is you who is calling. Because when you called Samuel, it sounded like it was Eli that was calling him. It sounded like it was Eli who wanted him out of his bed at that time. And yet it was not Eli at all. It was you. So who or what are we hearing today that we are assigning to a boss, assigning to a pastor, assigning to a parent, when it is actually the voice of God we are hearing? I pray, Lord, today that your voice will be clear. Speak to us, Lord. Let your voice be clear in our ears. Let it not sound like the opinion of the pastor. Let it not sound like the preference of the pastor. Let it not sound like the pastor is the one saying something. But Lord, let your voice be clear in our ears. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. Yes, you called, you gently called me, oh, into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're calling me to yourself. Father, we're grateful for today. Thank you for everything you've spoken to us, taught us through your word. May your word bear fruit, Lord. May you watch over your word to perform it. I pray, Lord, that your word will not come back void, but let it accomplish that for which it was sent. We're grateful to you for your blessing this afternoon. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together properly for the Lord. Amen. All right.